Are you happy? Well, if that music doesn't make you happy, you're part dead. And you know what? They have a lot more to do on Wednesday night. So be back here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for music and music and more music. You know, that thing with Stephen, that was totally impromptu. You know, it was. If you were to go to many places in this country, where people go into a hall or Silver Dollar City out there in Missouri or someplace like that, where they charge you 10 or 15 bucks or 18 bucks to hear that kind of music. You know, professionals get up and they do that kind of stuff, but they plan it in advance. So it sounds impromptu. But that was impromptu. And I was impressed. I was impressed. You know, I know they did that before, but it's been quite a while. It's been quite a number of years since they did that. And Mrs. Anderson just followed right along there. Did you see that? And then there was this other song. I did know Stephen was going to sing that other song. You know how I knew? Because when I got in the car, it was laying there on the seat. So I knew he was going to do that song. And I think that my children, Rebecca's out taking care of a baby now, I guess, right? But you know what my children love about that song when thinking of me? You know what they love about that song, that part that says, I'm still far from perfect? They really like that. They do. And, and then there was the other song, I'd forgotten all about that. You know, after a year, I had forgotten all about that. That's the gospel brother. You know, two can't walk together. I thought, here is an old Southern gospel song from years ago that they used to sing, and it says, you know, two can't walk together if they're not agreed. That's gospel brother. I thought, you know, that's great. So I said, you know, we ought to do that because, you know, that's what we believe. You know, that ought to be done in our church. And there you have a song, you know, all arranged like that. And I, you know what I do? I just take these things, and there isn't hardly any place else you could just do this. You couldn't. And so I say, give it to Rebecca. I say, here's a song. I heard the song. How about we do it? We don't have the music. We don't have the words. I just said, I like this song. How about we do it? And and then they give it to Chris. You folks have no idea. I hand them the hardest things in the world musically to do. And they do it. They come up with it. They come up with the arrangements. You know, it's just tremendous talent. So I think when Stephen said, blame Chris, I think Rebecca must have said, Chris, how about getting us the music for this impossible song that Dad gave me to do, you know? And then he did it. You don't know how hard it is, but I'm trying to explain it anyway. And so we appreciate greatly what they do, because you know every once in a while you just hear these songs that are great, but you can't find them anywhere. You just can't find them anywhere, and maybe they're on a record, a tape, or a CD someplace, and you know. It's not that easy to reproduce them, but they do. So we appreciate that. So that was great. So we're going to blame you for that being great. You know, that's all right, isn't it? All right. Proverbs chapter 11, please. Proverbs chapter 11. And I'm looking forward to Wednesday night. And if I don't have a brain cramp, maybe I'll think of another song that that I really like that I'll have them sing. But I do love Haven of Rest, don't you? And they do that with the choir behind it, you know. And boy, after that, I'm ready to ascend right up to heaven. It's great. Proverbs chapter 11, let's pray. Father, we come before you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray, Lord, that as we consider these things, the Spirit of God might speak to our heart, that we might be moved by the examples that we have that fulfill Holy Scripture. We pray, Lord, if there are folks here who don't know they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray they might realize it and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 11, starting our reading at verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. In other words, a person's given out their money and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. In other words, a person doesn't give as much as they should have given, and they tend not to have so much. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Skip to 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Now I want to ask this question. Do you just believe what God says? That's exactly the way I want to phrase. Do you just believe what God says? You know, God says it, I just believe it. It's that simple. God says, I just believe. Is that you? Verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. You know, do you just believe what God says? It means if you give generously, you're going to be filled. That's what it means. The Lord says it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Have you ever tested it? You know, from time to time in a preacher's preaching, there are examples. People, great examples for sermons. And you know, sometimes as a preacher, you just can't give those examples in a sermon because, you know, you expect those people may be there. In 1989, I started to have a series of trials in my life. It started with a weird-sounding attack called pancreatitis. You never want to have it. You wish that you can pass out and you can't. The pain is great. The extremely incredible, painful thing. Maybe I ate too much, too many days. I don't know, but I had this attack. And then, of course, you know, when you have an attack, they cart you off to the doctor. And once the doctor gets a hold of you, he wants to do all kinds of tests, you know. And so the doctor says, you know, the right test for you is ERCP. That's four letters that spell torture. And so they gave me the ERCP for two of the worst hours I ever spent in my life. And that gave me a blood clot. And then a PE, those are two letters, pulmonary embolism, means a clot in the lung. And then, you know, it wasn't long after that, and I was trying to recover from all that, that a family in our church had their four children taken away from them. And so I went to battle for them. And I was given for the blood clots that I had, I was given a drug, and I had a terrible reaction to the drug, and I lost 40 pounds in 30 days, and I was too weak to preach, too weak for a while to even show up. You know, a little while after all this took place, and a few months after all this took place, the Lord sent a couple into my life to just be a great blessing. Harold Marvin died on August 6th, 5 days after his 82nd birthday. He and his wife Margaret came into our lives in 1990 and were just a tremendous blessing. And that's why, not knowing that Stephen was going to ask for a hymn, I thought of that hymn, "Make Me a Blessing. Make Me a Blessing." Do you ever think that way? Do you ever think that way? Make me a blessing. Lord, make me a blessing. Do you think that way? Or is it, you know, I hope I'll get a blessing. Do you ever think, Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to others. You know, many a time over the years, I've preached on giving to the Lord. One of the great things that we can do for the Lord by faith. And I preached on this matter of generosity. And in the preparation of those sermons, I would think how Harold Marvin would be an illustration. And yet knowing if he heard it, you know, if I used him as an illustration, he'd really be upset. And I believe that's true humility. But I believe that he illustrates verse 25, "The liberal soul shall be made fat." I believe that. He was a very generous man, very generous to the Lord's work, and the Lord greatly blessed him, and he had plenty. And go, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians 8, 2, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." You know, this is amazing. How he says, you know, they were poor and they just abounded in their giving. They were very liberal in their giving. They abounded. Verse 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." He says, you have these other things, you ought to abound in your giving. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." You say you love Christ, you want to prove your sincerity? You know, you give to the Lord's work. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Of course, Jesus is the ultimate example. Go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Do you believe it? That's what God says. It says if you're stingy in your giving, that's what you're going to reap. If you're generous in your giving, that's what you're going to reap. I saw a man who was generous in his giving and seemed to reap a great deal. Verse 7, "Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." We don't put the pressure on you to give. We just tell you God loves a cheerful giver. If you can be cheerful about it, then it's good. You know, Harold came over to my house and he saw my rotting retaining wall. We had built it years before out of, you know, those things that are supposed to be like railroad ties, you know. And they were just rotting away and everything was caving in and, you know. And he looked at that thing and said, "We ought to do something about this." So we got Paul and you know, they built me a beautiful stone wall. I got the stones and they put them together. You know, I could tell he believed in taking care of the preacher. And then, you know, he looked around the other side of the house and, you know, it looked a little bit incomplete. And so he says, you know what, we got to build you a deck. So he got up some money to build materials and got Jim Mitchell over there, and Jim built us a deck on our house, kind of completed our house. You know, Harold loved to bless others. He was very, very happy when he was blessing others. You know what? You'll be happy if you want to bless others. You know that? It can really make you happy when you bless others. Make me a blessing, the hymn writer said. You know, he would take us out to eat. I couldn't even begin to count how many times he took us out to eat. And I remember the first time, though, I do remember the first time, because he had this saying, and others have repeated this to me also, you know. He had this saying, and he said, at the beginning of the meal, he said, whoever prays, pays. I'll pray. And he would pray. Well, you know, many years and many meals later, I got to hit him in a certain situation. I got to really ride him in a certain situation. Because we were at the end of this meal, you know, I can't remember where it was or who was there. But, you know, I like to pick on people when I can, in fun, you know. If you can't take it, just faint. It's all right. You know? And, you know, the end of the meal comes around, you know. About the time when you expect that the girl's going to come with the check, you know. And suddenly, Harold disappears. You know, he disappears. Now, I have a feeling that maybe, you know, as you get older, sometimes you have emergencies, have to go to the men's room, you know. But I Harold came back. I said, well, you know what? I said, the check is coming and Harold disappears. And I just rode him on that one for a while, because Harold never disappeared when a check came. Believe me, never disappeared when a check came. I was astounded the first time I went just to the deli to get a sandwich with him. Because when he first came here, you know, most of us pay by credit card. It's got to be cash 30 days, though. Remember that? Remember I said that? And I don't want you getting in trouble with credit cards. Yeah, Harold pulled out his wallet, you know. There'd be this big wad, $100 bills. I've never seen anything like it in my life. All these $100 bills, you know. Wherever he went, he had all these $100 bills. Anyway, he did pay that. You know, there was only a fight one time. Somebody mentioned this to me not too long ago. They said, you know what, there was this one fight when he took you out to dinner. It was a fight between him and my father as to who was going to pay that bill. And it was something. And usually, you know, if Harold saw something like that coming, he'd grab the person before they ever set us down and give them instructions to make sure where the bill was supposed to go. That was Harold. But you know something? I noticed over the years how much God blessed the generous person. The person who loved to bless God's people and God's preachers and God's work. I noticed how much blessing they received. The liberal soul shall be made fat, God says. Harold was an illustration of that. But it wasn't just my family. He was a blessing to so many. He just took lots and lots of people out. You know, he'd hear that some of the kids were going to get married, and, you know, he'd say, would you like to take your honeymoon down at our villa in the Cayman Islands? I mean, we figured out that villa that he had in the Cayman Islands, if you wanted to rent it, was probably around $600 a night. And he just let the kids go there and enjoy themselves, no charge. He took us there two or three years, and we had some great times. Though in those years I was in a very weakened condition physically. One thing I just have to relate to you, we were standing on the canal down there in the Cayman Island. They have numbers of canals, and then they have the wooden wharfs that are along the canals, and you know, sometimes the boats can come down into those canals. Anyway, there's a lot of these canals down in the Cayman Islands, and one of the things that comes down in those canals are tarpon. That's a big fish, and they come down there, you know. And I thought that was great, and you know, we went to this jewelry shop to look around, and I saw in a jewelry shop there was this big tarpon, you know, mounted. And I said to the guy, "Did you catch that?" He said, "Yeah, I did." I said, "Tell me how to catch them." So he did. So I got myself a big chunk of something, and I cast it out in the middle of the canal, and pretty soon this big tarpon grabbed it. And I'll tell you something, when a tarpon grabs something, the show is about to begin. Because, you know, there's hardly a fish like a tarpon. And, you know, they run, and you see that line run, and pretty soon they come out of the water. If you've ever seen pictures of these things, if you haven't, take a look at them sometimes, you know. And those things just come out of wit, because they're going so fast. When they come out of the water, they're really high. And they're trying to shake the hook, and down they go again, running this way and coming out of the water, and then running this way and coming out of the water, you know. And I'm just having fun watching this thing coming, you know, because you don't eat them. You don't eat these things. And I'm thinking about, what are we going to do with it when we get it here? You know, it's jumping all over the place. And I'd heard that, you know, one guy brought one of those tarpon in a boat one time, 90-pound tarpon. It was shaking so hard it broke the guy's leg. So I'm thinking about that. And you know, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, I get that tarpon, and I get it right next to the wharf, you know. Now, the wharf is down a ways, so you can't reach down and grab the fish or do anything like that. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so, you know, the fish is going back and forth, you know, big old eyes looking up at me. And it's going back and forth and back and forth. Well, you know, I had this terrible chronic fatigue, and I'm all worn out, and Harold's standing next to me, you know. And I said, "Here, Harold, you play with him for a while, you know." And so Harold takes the rod, you know, and he's got the rod, and the fish is going back and forth. I said, "Listen, Harold, when that fish goes leaping out of the water, remember one thing. You always bow to the Silver King." Hey. Now, the terminology is really bow to the king, but there's only one king to bow to, and that's Jesus, right? But there's a term, and the reason for the term is that when that fish goes up in the air and starts shaking, trying to shake the hook, you know, you got to put that rod down and let him have more line, see? Now, that's just the opposite of what you do if you're bass fishing. When the bass comes out of the water, you keep the line tight so he won't shake the hook, you know? Well, pretty soon, you know, we've been playing with that guy too long, and now he's rested. And so he goes out to the middle of the canal, and with a tremendous leap, Harold didn't obey his pastor. And so instead of bowing to the Silver King, he tried to hold like this, and you know what? That hook came back, boom, and hit him right on the shoulder. I tell you, it's good to obey your pastor. You know, from little stories that I heard, Harold was generous when he didn't have anything. There was a time when he didn't have anything, when he first started his business. You know, when people first start their business, they say something like, you know, "Well, when I get something, I'm going to really do something good." You know, I know people were in need, you know, and he just write out a check for them, even when he didn't have much. God says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He was an example of that. I should say this too. You know, he was an example of someone who worked real hard. You know, you have to be a hard worker. You do have to be a hard worker. But he gave lots of money to the Lord's servants and the Lord's work, and God greatly blessed him with plenty and a warm family. And there is one really big thing. Our gym. The gym. For me, for all the other things, he will be remembered for the gym. For me. Now, it wasn't him and him alone by any means, but his role was major. You know, I'd like to say at this point, too, that, you know, his wife Margaret struck me as to what a wife should be. You know, faithful, helpmeet, that helps give a man encouragement to do what he does. I believe she fulfills that. And you know, in the matter of the gym, some of our men had talked to me about a gym, and I was reticent about it. And the reason I was reticent about it is ever since we started the Christian school, we always ran in the red, you know. And I thought, you know, how can we build a gym? You know, how can we decide to come up with money for a gym when every year we got to, you know, come up with money for our Christian school? And besides that, there was something else that, you know, got to me a little bit. You know, it's one thing to not have any money and say, you know, let's build a church auditorium, you know, for the preaching of the Word of God. But, you know, asking the Lord for money for a place to play, you know, that was something that I had a little bit of trouble with. You know, I mean, I grew up loving basketball and... you know, and as much as I know how the Lord loves to bless His people, you know, it just didn't feel real spiritual to me to push to raise a great amount of money for a gym where we'd play. But when Harold came to me, I could see that the Lord had laid it on his heart, and knowing of the other men who felt the same way, I was encouraged. And he said this to me. I remember right next to our dining room table, he said this to me. He said, would you mind if I spoke to the other men about it? Oh, what a nice way to approach it. Would you mind? No, I won't mind. And you know, Norman did a great job in engineering the whole project. And Harold... you know, said we could do it, said we could raise the money, and got some volunteers. And, you know, it's a great thing when you can leave this life and leave something that big as a memory. It is. It's not a gravestone. It's a place that's been a tremendous blessing to our church, not just because basketball and volleyball have been played there, but because it's kind of our home away from home, and great fellowship and weddings and wedding receptions. And before the new building, we had graduations there, and we had evangelistic services there. What a tremendous thing it is, you know, to leave something behind. Not a monument with a nice verse on it, which is all right. I don't go to graveyards. I don't look. I don't go to where my father and mother are buried because they ain't there. You know. What a wonderful thing. The liberal soul shall be made fat. One example. You know, during the memorial service and after the memorial service, as we went through the receiving line, downstairs after the memorial service was over. They told how that as Harold lay dying in the hospital room, there were only two visitors that were allowed to be in the room at a time. And the whole family was there. There was about 40 of them in that room. I guess they were singing. And you know, this was mentioned a number of times, and you know, this was kind of important to them. And as I talked to some of his children, I said, you know, when you are kind to everyone all your life, you'll have a lot of friends at the end. Yeah, I've seen some miserable people in the last years of their life. Nobody wanted to be around them. So when you're kind, like Harold was kind, and generous, and good to people, you know, plenty of people were there. He's an example. The liberal soul shall be made fat. What a great example. Listen, you saw it. Practically everybody in this building, except some folks that were just kind of new to us, knew him, knew what he had. And I think you at least had, at the very least, had an inkling of how generous he was. I knew how generous he was. Example of what God said. And God said, if you give generously, you know, the Lord will take good care of you. It may not be all in money, but he'll take good care of you. And if you're fulfilled in your life, that's always great. And if you have a lot of people that love you, that's nice too. Let's bow for prayer. The insert in his memorial service bulletin had that song, I'm a Child of the King. I was going to read it, but instead I had Stephen sing it. Are you a child of the King? Do you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Are you a child of the King? Belong to the family of God because you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, you could be saved tonight. You could be saved. And that time when a person dies and they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, it's a tough time. But there's a certain greatness to it also. Do you know you're saved? If you don't, would you receive him right now? Would you pray and say, Lord, oh, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus suffered greatly to die for my sins. And I believe that his sacrifice can pay for all my sins that I can't pay for one. Please save me by my belief, not by my works, but by my belief. Would you pray that prayer tonight? Mean it with all your heart. And child of God, you've seen the scripture, and I gave you an example. Will it have an impact upon you and the way you give to the Lord's work? Oh, I know that there are many generous people in here. And I don't preach these things because there has not been great generosity. There has been. But who knows how many still could be more generous and say, Lord, just make me a blessing. I want to be a blessing. And when you are, you're happy. Let's pray silently. May the Lord work in your life that which is his goodwill. As our heads are bowed, before I pray, I want to ask if you made that decision. If you say, preacher, I just prayed for the Lord to save my soul, I mean it with all my heart, would you raise your hand and let me know before I pray? Just lift it up so I can see it. Is there someone? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I'd like to be sure of that. Is there someone? Father in heaven, I pray for every person here. If there's someone not saved, I pray that they might be willing to humble their heart and come to the Savior for eternal salvation. I pray for God's people, that they might take this example and this scripture and hide it in their hearts, that they might be a blessing and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.